This morning we invite you to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. The book of Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll be reading the first four verses, or actually the first three verses of the chapter. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Writer of Hebrews writes, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. This morning we continue on in that of our study of the book of Hebrews, and in particular in chapter 11 that we began last week. And our focus verse is verse number 3 for our focus this morning. And you'll note the writer writes, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Our subject this morning is, by faith we know God created the universe. By faith we know that God created the universe. Now before we focus in on that of our text, for just a few moments, we want to very quickly look back at verses number 1 and 2 and give just a very brief notice of these verses that are the basis for that of going forward in the chapter. In verse 1, last week as we began the chapter, we noted that the writer of Hebrews gives us a description of faith. Now, he doesn't tell us everything there is with regards to faith, but he does give us a description of faith. I believe Sunday morning we dealt with that of the subject of what is faith. And as we considered that question, we said that there were basically three elements that make up that of faith. The first one being that of knowledge. Faith always has that of a basis. Secondly, that of intellectual assent, or that of persuasion. And in particular, that of persuasion with regards to that knowledge that is the basis for that of faith. And then thirdly, we have that of the element of confidence, or that of reliance, that of trust. And we noticed the Apostle Paul, as he wrote to Timothy in that second epistle, as he was very quickly coming upon that of the end of his life, he says, For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And we noted that all three elements were found in that of what the Apostle Paul stated there in that statement. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded. There you have that intellectual assent, that assent based upon that of that knowledge. Paul believed God. Paul believed the promises of God. Paul believed in Jesus Christ. He believed that he was able to keep that which he had committed unto him against that day. He was confident that that was so. He says, "I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded, convinced, that he's able to keep that which I have committed against that day." And that day, of course, being that of the day of judgment. And that which he had committed was that of his eternal soul. So as we come back to that of our text, the author here, he enters into that of the subject of faith, which he has already dealt with somewhat. He's dealt with that of the assurance of faith. He has spoken of that of a faith that is a believing to the saving of the soul. That is what he makes mention of in the very end of the chapter, of chapter 10. You know what he says? But we're not of them who draw back unto perdition or draw back unto that of destruction. But we're of them, and you know, beloved, he speaks of that of a specific people. It's not just anybody that he's speaking of here, but he says, we're of them that believe to the saving of the soul. In other words, he is saying that we are ones who believe and we don't stop believing. We believe all the way to the end, all the way to that of the point of entering in to that very presence of God. Leaving that of this world of woe to that mighty deliverance from this world. Now, he says in verse 1, now faith. Faith is, as we said, three elements: knowledge, assent, and confidence. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, as we noted last Sunday afternoon, these are parallel statements. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. There's the first statement. The second statement is the evidence of things not seen. In the Psalms, in the poetry, sometimes you'll have that of this parallel ideal that is set forth. One statement will be made, and then there'll be another statement that will be similar, only it will give further light upon that of the first statement. And that's exactly what we have here in verse number 1. The writer tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for. Not only does he describe faith as the substance of things hoped for, but he goes on to say it's the evidence of things not seen. Things hoped for. Things not seen. Similar statements. Descriptive of that of the two words that he uses in describing that of faith. And the first one is that of substance, and the ideal there is that it is the title deed. Faith is the title deed of things hoped for. Faith latches hold, beloved, upon that of a knowledge that is a knowledge of God and the God who has promised, the God who does not lie. And in so doing, beloved, that faith is the title deed in one's hands. Not only is it the title deed in one's hands, it looks forward to that of things that are hoped for. But he goes on to say, it is the evidence of things not seen. Or in other words, it's the proof of things not seen. And how is it the proof of things not seen? It's that those promises of God. Those promises of God that look forward to that of the future. It's God and His Word. He says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. These elders, beloved, being that of the fathers, those that he's going to begin to list and give them as examples, and how that they had this kind of faith, and it was not just a faith that was in theory alone, beloved, but it was a faith that was a real faith, one that caused them to step out, looking forward to that of the future with that of hope, a sure hope. looking for things not visible to the eye. But having confidence that it was true. You know, down in verse number 6 or 7, we have Noah. He says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Noah, I want you to build an ark. A flood's going to come. I'm going to destroy the earth with a flood. Noah, the people that was in that of the world at that time had ever seen a flood, had never seen it rain. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. We'll look further and more closely at this, but I draw your attention to this because it has that of a language that is similar to that of what our writer has set before us in the description verse number 1. He says, faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen. But not only do we have that same thought or ideal found there, but as we come to that of our focus text this morning, again, we have that same thought. He says, through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Once again, we have that of the invisible. Things not seen. The author is going to give us an illustration of his statement in verse 1 here. By affirming that by faith it is known that the physical universe was formed in response to the powerful word of God. He begins, through faith we understand. This, beloved, is a very important statement. A very important statement. The word faith here is not the first occurrence of it we know in the passage. As you go on down through the chapter, in verses 4 through that of verse 31, you read by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. Verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab. And then it says in verse 32, and what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak? And the implication is that he could have written the same way. By faith, these individuals stepped out. But there's something that is different about that of our first statement here. You know, it says through faith we understand. Whereas beginning with verse number 4 and to that of the end of the chapter, basically, our writer gives us examples of individuals and out of their faith. Here, the writer appeals to that of the faith of his audience. But he doesn't just appeal to the faith of his audience. He also unites himself with them. For he says, through faith, we understand. Through faith, we understand. Now, the world has it backwards. They go the opposite way. Unless they can,
illustrated. Put it down in facts. Detail it. And there's reasoning with regards to it based upon that of the knowledge that they're using. They don't think it's anything to even think about. Scientists. They want to reason, and their reasoning, beloved, is based upon that of their facts. Their facts. And their facts alone. And if it's not their facts, then, you know, there's no way it can be true. Note what the writer tells us here. He says, through faith, we understand. Now, beloved, the writer here doesn't speak of a faith that is a blind faith. No, beloved, the faith that the writer speaks of is that of a faith that is indeed based upon knowledge. Matter of fact, it is a knowledge that is a much higher knowledge than any scientist can give or has. He says, through faith, we understand. Or, in other words, we comprehend. We have now an understanding. And how? What is the means? The means is through faith. That we have that of this understanding. That we have that of this comprehension. Now, what did we say of faith? We said that faith has three elements. It has that of knowledge. It has that of the element of assent or persuasion. And it has that of confidence or that of trust. Belief. And that belief is based upon that of the persuasion of that knowledge. But the knowledge that the writer here speaks of is a much higher knowledge than the world's knowledge. Much higher knowledge than that of man's knowledge. Beloved, the knowledge that the writer here speaks of, beloved, is that of the knowledge of God. And that of His Word. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Through faith we understand. What do we understand? What comprehension do we have? It's the subject, beloved, is that of the worlds. Or the ideal here is that of the universe. That of time and space. That of the planets. That of the world in which we live in. The universe. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed. That word, framed, means prepared. Prepared with a purpose. I like that thought. Made. Created. By the Word of God. By the Word of God. I believe we can safely say, beloved, that without doubt, that our author, as he penned that of these words, that he had indeed that of what we have in Genesis 1:1, where it begins, beloved, and it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." And he said, "Let there be light," and there was light. You say, well, why do you say that, Brother Steve? Well, note what he says in the latter part of the verse. He says, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Beloved, the writer here declares to us that the creation of that of the universe, that it was done, beloved. And it was done. It was brought into existence out of nothing. Out of nothing. In the beginning, God. Let me just say to you, God was before the beginning. The beginning that we read of there in Genesis 1:1, God was before it. Now, if you begin to think about this, it'll blow your mind. God is eternal. He always has been, and He always will be. There never was a time God was not. And there'll never be a time when he isn't not. Isn't, I'll get that straight in a minute. No, beloved, He was before the beginning. And, beloved, He was in the beginning. When it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He's the one that brought it all into existence. And beloved, He did it out of nothing. He spoke, and it was done. He said, let there be light, and there was light. Over in Psalm 33, which we had read, and we had a passage for that of our morning focus. Psalm 33, verse number 6, it says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. And all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. This is the God who made the universe. Now, scientists, they would tell us that it all began with a bang. It all began with a bang. Well, how did the bang come to pass? If that is true, if indeed it all began with that of a bang, then how did that bang happen? Who was behind it? Or what was behind it? And beloved, if you believe what scientists would have you to believe, it began with a big bang explosion. What chaos? What chaos? Beloved, when you look around and you read, beloved, that of the general revelation that God has given us in that of the creation that we see around us, beloved, it doesn't speak of that of chaos, beloved. It speaks of that of harmony. And that of one who indeed created it. For His handprints are all over it.
Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 1, he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instructions. Fools despise wisdom and instructions. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. As I began, and I said, but this, our author says, through faith, we comprehend or we understand. I told you, beloved, that the knowledge or the understanding that is being spoken of here, beloved, is based upon that of a knowledge that is much higher than that of man's. The scientists are so sure of the fact that the world and the universe began with a big bang. Well, let me ask them the question, and let us all ask them the question. Were they there when it happened? No, I dare say they weren't. They weren't even in existence. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. God said, let there be light, and there was light. He commanded. The heavens came into existence. Through faith we understand that the world was framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were made of things which do. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Note how that's worded? So that things which are seen, what we see with our eyes, were not made of things. Not made of things which do appear. Now, beloved, God is the creator of the universe. And beloved, it's through faith that we have this understanding. That understanding, that knowledge being none other than that of God Himself and His And then we have that of the general revelation. Beloved, go and look at the mountains. Look up in the heavens and the stars. Think of the sun and then the moon. The lilies. The flowers. The different vegetation. The animals. Can you really say it all just happened?
Would reason really say to you it all happened by just a big bang? No. No, the Almighty Sovereign God, the Eternal One, brought it into existence. The songwriter put it this way: who made the mountains? Who made the trees? Who made the rivers flow to the sea? And who put the moon in the starry sky? Somebody bigger than you and I.
Amen.
Who made the flowers bloom in the spring? Who writes the song for the robin to sing? And who sends the rain when the earth is dry? Somebody bigger than you and I. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. The psalmist David said, when I consider the heavens, the works of thy hands, what is man that thou art even mindful of him? Think about that. Meditate upon that. God's handprints are all around us. Throughout the world. Do you know Him? Do you know Him who is revealed unto us through that of His dear Son, the Lord Jesus, who has shown His love? May God grant you grace to know this one that we speak of. And we say to you that it's through Jesus Christ that you know Him. By that of faith in Him. Let us stand. Let's have a closing prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father,
Lord, we do thank you for loving us in Christ Jesus, for giving us your only begotten Son, Lord, for the perfect work of redemption that he has accomplished, obediently keeping the law in our place as our substitute, and then, Lord, suffering our punishment, being found guilty in our place. Lord, we do thank you that you've accepted this in our stead, that your justice is satisfied. Father, we do thank you for the perfect righteousness that we have in Christ, that thou art pleased with thy dear Son in all that he has performed. Lord, we rejoice in this, and then for the gift of thy Holy Spirit, for every grace that we have through him, through thy divine power, we do thank you. Father, we pray that we might live for thee, for thy glory, that we might worship thee and praise thee and adore thee. Lord, may we grow in our knowledge of thee and of thy will. Lord, we do pray that in everything we might be made more like Christ. Father, we do pray your blessing now upon the preached word. Lord, do help us to contemplate and to meditate, Lord, upon thee and upon thy revelation that we have through Scripture. Lord, may we truly be taught of thee. Do bless the gospel then to our hearts, to the hearts of our family, your people around the world. Lord, may a number that no man can number be gathered together for thy glory and honor. Father, we do pray your blessing now as we part. May we go with thy favor. Do guide and direct us. Lord, may we live to honor thee, we pray. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.